Good afternoon. This is the History Room, and yours truly, John Swearingen, stepping in to talk to you about a little piece of American history. And I'd say we don't always talk about this here in America. I mean, it's kind of brought up at times, but not all the time. It is the year 2024, which is hard to believe. We're in the 24th year of this 21st century, which is still kind of amazing and astonishing that we've got this far in the 21st century. You wonder what people thought about like 100 years ago in 1924 or the previous year, 1923. But I don't want to digress and go down another path. Today, for this time I'm with you, and I do hope you will enjoy this podcast and previous podcasts that are out there, so do check them out when you have the time. But for 2024, in the winter time that we are, late February of that year, soon to be in March, we have a big election coming up for actually the not just for a variety of candidates for legislative or any kind of other state officials or even in the U.S. Congress. Congress, where men and women are running in positions there as they are in the state legislatures, and if there are any gubernatorial, which would be governor races throughout different states. But then there are other, you know, throughout each state, there are county officials that are running and so forth, and mayors of cities and whatnot. However, because it's a big election year for also the president, and we're currently stuck with two old-time guys, which it makes you wonder why we are presented these two individuals, two older males in their late 70s and past 80s, or yeah, just past it. You know, you just kind of wonder why we're stuck with people like this and we can't get somebody like in their maybe at least 40 to maybe mid-60s. I believe in the U.S. Constitution, I think it states, I think the person who wants to run for president has to be at least, I think it's 35 years of age. So, but focusing on this, we don't think about the second in charge. We actually think the first in charge is the President of the United States. Well, the second in charge is someone with the title of Vice President of the United States. And again, that person's been kind of always just kind of pushed aside, unless a president, who we've lost several out of these, 45, 46 presidents we've had, that we've had about, I want to say, I think, 8 presidents die in office, 4 died of natural causes, which is some kind of illness or, you know, whatever disease or whatever. And then 4 of them actually were assassinated or taken out where somebody took them out with a bullet. I'd say that last one is kind of like, it's just a little too extreme to say, but just they were assassinated. So that makes 8. And then you have to count one more president, a president that actually had to resign because of a lot of issues with being involved with an election of a few years before. And that president resigned, who was Richard Nixon, back close to the mid-1970s. And it went then to his vice president, who was Gerald Ford. And Mr. Ford was a former member of Congress on the House, because the Congress has two bodies in it, the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate, so or Senate, and he's been in there, I think, since like 49 or 50. I think we got in there, so he'd been there for a good close to almost 25 years when he was actually, I guess, elected by Richard Nixon in the late 1970s, 1973, that is. It was early 70s, but and then, kind of stepped into that role, I think, before that month was over in 1973, I guess the last month of 1973, and then went into 1974, not even thinking what was going to happen and so forth. The vice president was really set up set up in the when it was 56 men, I believe it was, or something in that number that were meeting in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the late 18, I'm sorry, the late 1780s, not late 18, late 1780s, which is, I think they met in May of 1787, and by mid late September of 17, same year, that year, 1787, we were to come up with a constitution, which we now call the U.S. Constitution, and it's the laws that we follow of how these men debated in Philadelphia, even during the summertime. And it was almost like about 11 years after, I think, when the same men were discussing independence from England in 1776. So, but both times, I guess these men, which some of them from back then, and then return in 1787, were a few of the same men that were part of the Constitutional Convention. And an individual who was selected was a former military man as the president and head of that Constitutional Convention, which would be George Washington. Not realizing 2 years later that he was going to be, the first president of the United States of America. So, he was actually president of the Constitutional Convention. But in that, and it was discussed that really the kind of the vice president, kind of like, when there would be a runoff, well, there'd be an election with electors, no matter, citizens may have briefly voted before, but electors really are the ones who made the final decision, part of the Electoral College. That I think kind of the runner-up would have been the vice president, where the first individual who became president had more of the numbers, while the second person, was kind of having, a few less numbers. And that person became the president, a vice president of the United States, following the president. That went on for, I think, a couple of elections where I think by the, I think it was like maybe 1804, 1805 or so, when there was this amendment called the 12th Amendment. And there had been 11 before that, and actually before that, 10 before that, which were known as the Bill of Rights. And these were amendments that were added to the Constitution, of the United States. And they were just, I guess, new laws that were added to the Constitution. And that meant they were just amended to it. And there was the 12th Amendment, and that kind of really put a difficult situation where it made a change of, that whoever was,
got the second, you know, second place, I guess, you know, became vice president. But I think by then, by at least 1805, that amendment kicked in and changed things up a little bit where, you know, that's not really kind of how, I guess, vice president was selected. And again, you could further go back and look at the 12th Amendment. You know, if you have to look it up, you know, in a book or online, since we think that the World Wide Web has everything, but it doesn't have everything. But then we, you know, had our government began in March of 1789, and our president was George Washington, and the vice president was John Adams, again, who was kind of like came in second place through the electors, electing them both in early 1789. And these gentlemen really did not actually, you know, these gentlemen were not sworn in to become these leaders, president and vice president of the newly United States until like it was March 4th was kind of when the government started. And that would be the, you know, the time when it was time for presidents to be inaugurated, and same with a vice president. But these gentlemen actually had theirs like in, I think, mid-late April of that year, so many weeks later. While I think the U.S. Congress, the House and Senate had met and had a quorum, which you just, again, that meant you had to have just a number of individuals so you could then just, you know, have your meeting and be able to meet to start creating, you know, I guess, laws for the land. And when things changed after that with the 12th Amendment and then, you know, who the vice presidents were, because we now have, I think, our 49th vice president is a female finally, and it's Kamala Harris or Kamala Harris. I don't know if that's how you pronounce first name, but she's briefly a former U.S. senator who came from the state of California, even though she's, I think, not from California originally. She's the current vice president, which is the 49. So we've had now 49 vice presidents. Well, I think we've only had, 46 presidents. And like I said, there were some presidents who died in office, again, 8 who died in office, and then 1 that had stepped away because resignation. And so then it just fell that the next in line was vice president of the United States. And I believe others that are after that, I think, would be like, I think it's the Speaker of the House if there was no vice president. And I think it's maybe like the majority leader, I think, in the U.S. Senate, I think, would be after that. And your first president who died in office was a gentleman named William Henry Harrison, who was, at the time of his election in 1840, he was from Ohio. Originally, he came from the state of Virginia on the East Coast, but then later made it, I guess, the Midwest, which was kind of, I guess, where Ohio is part of. And kind of made that, I guess, his home in that state, I guess, for about 15 years or whatever it was. He'd been in the military majority of his life. He, I think, made an appearance for a couple of years, I think, as a member of the, Congress in the House for, I think, maybe one term or so. But he gets elected, William Henry Harrison, in late 1840. Is inaugurated in March of 1841, How ironic that a month later he just dies in office. And so the vice president was also another Virginian. And they were pretty close to where they originally both were from in Virginia, which I think, unless they were both were from Charles City, I think county is what it is. You know, I think there's a Charles City, Virginia, but I think it's in Charles City County. And Harrison's vice president was a man named John Tyler. And John Tyler's just not well known because he actually became the first vice president to step into the role of the presidency. And I think some people back then that were opponents and were against, you know, him becoming president, who I think they called him his accident or accidental president, I guess. But, you know, I guess neither would either be legitimate, but, you know, with that title, but he was, you know, just somehow he just moved into that role afterwards and kind of finished up the term of President Harrison. And again, Harrison was considered really, you know, kind of more in the military and was involved in some many military battles, especially during the War of 1812. And other military actions that he saw. And so I believe, you know, John Tyler, you know, kind of finishes up Harrison's term, then it's you know, we go like a president or two, I think two presidents after that, I think, or whatever. And to that president be that there was a Zachary Taylor, and he was also born in Virginia, and he had majority been in his life just in the military, never been in politics at all, and he got selected in the late 1840s up to 1850 to be selected as to run for president of the United States because he had just come off you know, and was well known for being a general who was you know, just a rough character, but he knew how to get things ready to go move forward. But I think him being well known because he saw a lot of action in the Mexican War that went on for a couple of years at the United States, and Mexico were part of that. He was, you know, getting selected as a candidate running against opposing, you know, parties, and then getting, you know, elected, I guess, by, you know, the citizens of America. And there's also still the Electoral College. And he gets in there, makes a year and a half, and then he gets ill and sick, and then dies in office. And so he's kind of the second one to die in office, which was ironic to have the previous person was in the military too. And then this time, being that the second person that died in office, President Taylor, that his vice president was not a Southerner like Harrison's was, since Harrison, I guess, technically was a Southerner, but living out in Ohio, which was Midwest. And then, you know, then a Northerner from the state of New York, and mostly from the Buffalo, New York area, which is Western New York, was a man named Millard Fillmore. Again, not a well-known name, not a well-known person. You know, this individual had been in politics for a number of years in the state, you know, political offices of New York State, and later into, I guess, being a member of Congress and the House. But again, he's selected as a running mate with Zachary Taylor in the late 1840s, and then he's tapped by, sometime in the late 1850, that he's in there, and he is just kind of, again, finishing up, it's kind of his term, like, John Tyler, and so, he, takes over, and he, kind of completes Taylor's term, but it's also his term too. Mr. Fillmore, he looks to try to run in 1852, but doesn't, have the votes, and so he doesn't run. And then there's, candidates from whatever party at the time, and then he's just, when he leaves the office in 1853, his wife, who eventually, I think, he had been married to for a number of years, dies afterwards, I guess, when they get back to Buffalo, New York, because I think she caught a cold, and I think when they were staying for the inauguration of the new president, and I guess get back to Buffalo, and then she dies there, and then he's kind of a widow for the next 20, 25 years, something like that, of that he marries someone else later in life. But I think Milmore does try to, I think, in the late 1850s, and or so, I think he tries to run for another, for the President of the United States, but doesn't get considered through another political party. And then it goes to other people, afterwards, of other presidents who die in office, like, who's well known, which would be somebody like Abraham Lincoln, who really gets, recognized as really one of the greatest presidents in the United States because of what he went through when America was actually in a civil war, where brother versus brother from the North and South were fighting for slightly over 4 years. And then I get Mr. Lincoln, it's well known because he's actually the first one to be assassinated by an American actor, John Wilkes Booth. And Mr. Lincoln is, into his second, just beginning his second term. So I think he's in office for maybe about a year and a half, month and a half, and then he is assassinated, and his vice president is a Southerner by the name of Andrew Johnson, who then takes over from there, and then it just kind of moves around to other presidents who kind of, who do die in office, and whether assassinated or they die of some kind of illness or disease or whatever. Because that really, I think, kind of affected President Harrison in 1841. And I think, again, Zachary Taylor about, 9 years later. But again, Mr. Lincoln was assassinated, and then there was another assassinated president, which was James Garfield from Ohio, another Ohio president like Harrison. And he was assassinated, and then his vice president was Chester Alon Arthur, and I think his middle name is actually spelled A-L-A-N, I guess you would say Allen, but I guess it's Alon, but I guess you could still say Chester Alon Arthur, but I think they just kind of do it as Alon, but he takes over. He's a New Yorker who involved in many different things, and I think had been you know, kind of dabbled a bit in politics for some time from New York State. And then again, there's just others who take over after, you know, other presidents who died in office, like William McKinley in the early 1900s, who was in to a second term, like Abraham Lincoln was, and then he dies, where an assassin shoots him, and he dies some like 8 or 9 days after his assassination. So he's kind of the longest living U.S. president to really live, you know, about a little bit longer than the other ones out of the four assassinate ones. And then that's where they bring in Theodore Roosevelt, who was a New Yorker. He was a New Yorker all his life. Lived on Long Island near a place called Oyster Bay, where he has his home, but still standing today. And then, you know, then you just go forward and move to other presidents that are just either from whatever state, and then their vice president, like another one where a president named Warren Harding, not well known, but from Ohio, where he's known. And he was into a term where then he dies in office, and his vice president is Calvin Coolidge, who's from Vermont originally. But eventually gets to Massachusetts and kind of makes it big there. And again, there's other, you know, vice presidents like Harry Truman, who took over for, Franklin Roosevelt, who was four times elected president of the United States. And into his fourth term, he, you know, he didn't really last real long. I don't even think a full half the year he lasted, maybe almost 4 months. And then again, Harry Truman, you know, moves and becomes the next president and so forth. And then we have a John Kennedy who becomes president end of 1960. And he starts his term, and he's into his third year when he gets assassinated in the year, which is in late November. As an assassin takes his life, and you know, it's been like now 60 years of his, you know, death. And, you know, for a young guy who was, I think he was 46 or 47, something like that. And, you know, he wasn't even 50 yet. So he did live real, he lived a, you know, long life, but not a really lengthy, you know, long life. But he's still well known today. And then, like I said, after him, that was kind of like it of assassins who tried to take a president over, some president again who died in office because they were ill or something, you know. You look at all these, and it's all men except now our latest one, which is Vice President Kamala Harris, who is the current one, who's the 49th one. And again, she's doing it her way of what, you know, every vice president who comes into office, what they're going to do. But again, they're only given so much, you know, duties and so forth. And it's just amazing, you know, with this position that's out there, which I'd say other people then copied what was created here in the United States over 230 years ago. And then now it's like, you know, it's kind of just, you know, basic kind of understanding and knowledge of, oh yeah, we have a person, you know, known as the Vice President of the United States who is, you know, kind of, you know, is there with the President of the United States. And but again, out of the eight who died in office, you know, again, like I said, some died of illness, some, you know, died of whatever else. And but there were also two men for sure, like there were before, where there was a Martin Van Buren. and a George Herbert Walker Bush, that both these men actually ran for office or ran for the presidency, and both were elected. And there was a big long gap for like almost about close to 150 years, of, you know, from, let's say, Martin Van Buren, who was from New York, to George H.W. Bush, who was originally just known as George Bush. And then he ran in the late 1980s, and then he gets a term himself, one term like Martin Van Buren. And that's kind of really when you had, like, you know, somebody who might have followed the, you know, the vice presidency office to the presidency office through election, besides the ones who, or man who stepped in that role when a president died in office, and or who had to resign, you know, like Richard Nixon, and they gave Gerald Ford, who, again, they say is the only non-elected vice president and president, I guess, in U.S. history, which is kind of very unique for him. But this kind of gives you kind of an idea about the vice presidency and who they all were, and the ones who stepped into the actual office itself, and how they really transformed things their way, that maybe their predecessor, the president who died in office, what they would have done if they would have lived long, you know. But this is kind of the kind of really fun story of how the vice presidency started up in, you know, the late 1780s, and then where we are today, that we still have one today. And usually, I guess, it comes to point, I think, that, you know, that the president, I think, through the party that the president's, the candidate who's going to be, who hopes to become president of the United States, you know, gets in there and actually at a convention where a group of people meet in whatever location would be, in whatever large city, and it's usually like a large convention center for like probably 3 to 5 days. And you know, a vice president is usually kind of picked during that time, unless either the president of, you know, the candidate, you know, selects a person to be the running mate. So that kind of gives you kind of a rundown about the presidents, and that there are just a few more than there are, you know, president of states. And then there were a few presidents, there were a few vice presidents. Again, it was just like, I don't know, probably about, I think about five of them, I think, that some of them died in office, where, you know, they didn't, you know, they just were not replaced. Just like, I guess, that even like Richard Nixon, before, you know, he's into his second term, that he had a vice president who had to step down because of some scandals and political issues from, you know, named Spiro Agnew from Maryland, who had been a former governor of Maryland before he became vice president. So he was in the next second term when some problems happened, and he had to step away by end of the year, around October, November of 1973, for Gerald Ford was selected by Richard Nixon. And so he had to step away like Richard Nixon did, but, you know, neither man died in office. They just stepped away and then lived on for another 20 plus some years, or, you know, whatever, how long they lived. It's unique to learn about these individuals and who they all were. And, but, you know, you kind of wonder whatever became a lot of, especially a lot of, you know, have passed away, but there are, you know, there's a, you know, a few that are still alive that are former, vice presidents. And again, they were just, that's all they were. They weren't like a person who went from being a vice president to president. So I do hope you enjoyed this little podcast that dealt with another part of American history, and on men and now one woman who occupied the office of the president of United, vice president, that is, I'm sorry, didn't say vice president of the United States, of their office. And currently, I think it goes back to maybe when Gerald Ford got into office, and then a former governor of New York State, Nelson Rockefeller, became, you know, took over and became Gerald Ford's vice president for the few years that they were both in office. I think it was about 3 years or so. And he was, again, you know, I think, you know, again, chosen by a president but not elected. You know, he was a former, you know, politician, you know, from New York State. That's Rockefeller. But I want to say it was there back in the mid-70s, 74, sure, 75, that I think vice presidents, I think, just had their homes somewhere in, you know, in Washington, D.C. or outside of Washington, D.C. when they were, you know, in office. And one of their duties, which is interesting, was like they, you know, would actually be president of the U.S. Senate, and they were there to sometimes, you know, step in sometimes to do a, to break a tie between whatever political parties, with whatever the matter is about, you know, maybe selecting a person to become a certain United States judge, or maybe some other kind of, you know, law that's out there, where sometimes that vice president can, you know, step in the office and be the president of the Senate, besides some other duties that they have to visit, you know, around the world, which they do, and so forth. And maybe represent, you know, the president and the, you know, the United States too, when they go to places like the president will go. But, you know, by the mid-70s, I guess there was a location, because I guess most of the time, a location is to president to, or vice president, that is, to have a home. And I think prior to that, I guess they either lived in hotels, or they, I guess, were able to get a home, you know, with their family or something to live in it. And Gerald Ford was living in a home, I think, outside of Washington, D.C., I don't know if it was in Maryland, and I guess before he was, you know, tapped to be vice president, when it got approved, I think, by the U.S. Senate, I guess. And then I guess he stays in that, you know, that house for some time, I guess, until I guess Richard Nixon has to resign, and then he actually becomes president of the United States. And he has to leave there, you know, that home, to then move into the White House, where Richard Nixon is leaving. But to go back with where the president, you know, did live, starting back in the mid-70s going forward, is this Naval Observatory. And there's an actual home there that's a fairly good-sized home that the vice president lives there. So I guess it started actually with Nelson Rockefeller back in at least late 74 and 1975, I think, that he lived in, you know, that residence. And it just went forward from him all the way up to, I guess, our current vice president, I guess, Kamala Harris. I know I'm probably mispronouncing my first name. But that gives you kind of an idea about that, where, like, even like, wow, the president, you know, had his second in command, which is the vice president, actually live at an actual site that was, I guess that the Navy had. And so that was a home. And so that's what they live in. But again, it's a fairly nice house. It's not as big as the White House, but where the president lives. And I'm sure any time if the president, you know, I'm sure would want to have the vice president over and the family, I'm sure that they would come. And if there was ever that they had to stay in the White House for a night or several nights, I know the president would give them that offer that, hey, you know, there's some rooms here for you and your family, and however long they do that. But that's kind of just, again, the story of the vice presidents of the United States. But do read further, whether you may run across an online website. There's I know through the U.S. Senate has a page, I think, that focus on the Vice President of the United States, since that position does work with the U.S. Senate and is president, you know, of the Senate when the Vice President does make an appearance there. But there's something that's on the, I think, U.S. Senate site, and it does discusses, I think, majority of them, ones who have a bust of themselves, of each president, I mean, Vice President, that is, and so forth. So there are websites besides books, and unless you pick a book on selected vice presidents that were, someone might have written a book about, I'm not saying that they went from vice president to president, but there are some that I guess are presidential books that, because they were former vice presidents, would be in there too. But however, just let you all know that this is just a interesting little podcast that just deals with who the vice president really is, when we all kind of get confused who they are. And I know it's always been given kind of a, you know, like it's just a, you know, they get a bad rap or something like that for what they do or what they can't do. It's kind of second in command, when I guess the president could be out for whatever reason or something like that. If they have to step in, maybe if the president like had surgery and the president was going to be out, I guess the vice president would be kind of in command for, you know, that short time that the president's, you know, I guess officially out, and, you know, like that, compared to if they had to step in because the president then was either died of whatever they died from, and then they then were, you know, given the notice that, hey, you know, you are now the president of the United States because, you know, your predecessor, the president, has died for whatever reason. So I know that's kind of a wake-up call to all people who get that, you know, kind of, you know, tossed away if that happens. Well, this is, again, about the things about the president, vice president of the United States. And hope you liked it here in the History Room, and my little piece about it. And do more research on it, and learn all you can about them. So have a great one, and hope we'll talk soon.